Chapter 2: The Greatest Racehorse in the World. Tom Hagen arrived in Hollywood early the next morning. From the airport he went straight to his hotel, showered, shaved, and had breakfast. Then he drove to the film company for his meeting with Jack Waltz at 10 o'clock. Jack Waltz was giving a birthday party for one of his young girl stars in front of a lot of reporters. Tom waited patiently. Finally, Waltz walked up to him. This year he was a tall man with thick silver hair, expensive clothes and a hard, unfriendly face. "Okay, start talking," he said to Thomas Year. "I'm a busy man. I was sent by a friend of Johnny Fontaine," Tom said. "He would be very grateful to you if you could do him a small favor." "I'm listening," Waltz said, busily signing papers. "Give Johnny the part in that new war film you're going to make." Waltz stopped writing and laughed. He took Tom by the arm, as if he was an old friend, and led him towards the door. "And if I gave Johnny Fontaine this part, what favor would your friend do for me?" he said. "You have some problems with your workers," Tom said. "My friend could make these problems disappear. You also have a top star who's taking drugs." But Jack Waltz had heard enough. "Listen to me," he shouted angrily. "You tell your boss, whoever he is, that Johnny Fontaine will never get that film. You don't frighten me. Single quote. I'm a lawyer," Tom said calmly. "I'm not trying to frighten you. I know all the lawyers in New York," said Jack Waltz. "But I've never heard of you. Who are you?" Single quote. "I work for One Special Family," Tom said. "Now, you have my number. I'll wait for your call." He shook Waltz's hand and added, before leaving, "By the way, I like your films very much." Tom was sure that when Waltz realized who he worked for, he would call. And he was right. Late that afternoon, a car picked him up from the hotel and drove him out of the city to Jack Waltz's home in the country. Waltz's house looked like something from a film. This year it was a huge pink walled house surrounded by beautiful gardens, lakes and fields full of horses. Waltz welcomed Tom like an old friend, gave him a drink and showed him around. "Why didn't you tell me you worked for Corleone, Tom?" he asked. "I don't like to use his name unless it's really necessary." Waltz took Tom by the arm. "This year, come with me, Tom," he said. "I want to show you something really beautiful." Waltz led Tom into a white building which was guarded by private detectives. Inside the building there were rows of horses. Waltz led Tom straight towards a beautiful horse with smooth black skin and a large white diamond-shaped mark between its eyes. "You have an eye for beauty, don't you, Tom?" Waltz said proudly. "This is Khartoum, the greatest racehorse in the world. I bought him in England for $600,000. He looked lovingly into the animal's enormous dark eyes for a long time, talking to it softly like a lover. Forgetting about Thomas Year, Tom coughed with embarrassment. Waltz touched the horse one last time on the neck, then said to Tom, "Let's go and have dinner. Corleone is Johnny's godfather," Tom began to explain at dinner. Although there were only two people at the table, the food was served by three waiters, two Italians. "That's very important. I respect that," Waltz said. "Just tell him he can ask me anything he likes. But not this. This is one favor I can't give him this year. He never asks a second favor when the first one is refused." Tom gave Waltz a warning look. "Understood." Single quote. This made Waltz angry. "No," he said, pointing his finger across the table at Thomas Year. "You don't understand. Johnny Fontaine never says that film this year. The part is perfect for him this year. It'd make him a big star. But I'm not going to give it to him this year, and do you know why? He stood up and began to move slowly around the table towards Thomas. Yeah, I had a beautiful young actress. She was going to be a star. I spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on her. Singing lessons, acting lessons, dancing lessons. Then Johnny Fontaine came along and took her away from me. I lost her. He made me look stupid. And that's something I can never forgive. That's why I'll make sure that Johnny Fontaine never works in films now. You get out of here. And if your boss wants to frighten me, tell him I'm no band leader. Single quote. Tom waited until Waltz had finished. Thank you for the dinner, he said quietly. Could your car take me to the airport now? Please, Mr. Corleone is a man who likes to hear bad news immediately. Then without another word he left the table, took his hat from one of the servants and walked quickly out of the room. Monsieur A. Jack Waltz was sleeping alone in his enormous bed. For some reason, this morning he woke up earlier than usual. The room was getting light. Everything was quiet, but he could feel that there was something wrong. He turned over and saw that there were wet red marks on his bedclothes. His nightshirt felt sticky, and there was a horrible smell in the room. Monsieur, he lifted the bedclothes off his body and looked down. His nightshirt was covered in blood. Without thinking, he sat up and pulled the bedclothes off his bed completely. The shock of what he saw nearly killed him. Monsieur, at first he couldn't breathe. He felt sick. Then, a moment later, he was filled with an animal fear. He opened his mouth and screamed. For there, at the bottom of his bed, was the beautiful black head of his favorite racehorse. Cartoon. Monsieur, somebody had cut it off during the night and put it in his bed while he was sleeping. It was stuck to the bed in a thick cake of blood. Its mouth open, its huge round eyes staring at him like pieces of half-eaten fruit. Jack Waltz's screams woke all the servants. 6 hours later, Johnny Fontaine received a phone call telling him that he had the part that he wanted in the film. Monsieur,